This episode of Rick and Rick Rule the World is brought to you by Taskin, the first name in ultra-stylish, premium-quality travel gear, like the exquisitely designed Taskin 1 expandable backpack. With 9 practical variations, the Taskin 1 is always the right size for wherever life takes you next. Save 30% on your next purchase when you use the promo code R&RTAKE30. That's R&RTAKE30 at TaskinSF.com.
Next up on an all-new Rick and Rick, the conclusion of our big 2024 predictions episode, where the Ricks explore key trends in the worlds of marketing, media, tech, and pop culture in the year ahead.
I joked around last year, if you remember, about AR and VR and said I'm not going to make any predictions, but I did point to the fact that Gardner was saying it was the year for AR and VR. Well, this year I'm going to follow that trend. I'm still not going to make any predictions, but I will point out that Forbes this year is predicting that this is the year for AR and VR. And some of that is based on the coverage that they saw from CES and how many companies are getting involved in that. But I'm still going to stay out of it because I've been doing it for years and I haven't hit that one just yet. I want to keep my numbers up. So instead, what I'm going to talk about this year, and I think we talked about a little bit last year, is the consolidation of streaming services. This last year, we saw a whole bunch of different streaming services kind of merge. Some of the big ones, a lot of the small ones. I don't think we're done. I think there's going to be more. And we're seeing this today because like we're already seeing HBO and Hulu and all those folks kind of come together and making up new words like Max. Max is a new streaming service instead of HBO Max, and they've consolidated a bunch of stuff into it. I think we're going to see more of it. You see Disney. Disney recently has pulled back on the number of shows that they're producing because they're not profitable. And so I do think that this year we're going to see further consolidation and bringing it down. And you and I kind of predicted this 2 years ago when we were talking about all these services popping up. And I think that the reason they did as well as they did was because of COVID. But now that we don't have COVID and people aren't spending as much time in front of the TV, I feel like these services are starting to struggle and people are canceling their subscriptions or pausing them or doing whatever. And it's really having an impact on it. So I wouldn't be surprised if we exit out of 2024 and we have half the number of major streaming services that we do today. I think we're still going to be left with your Disney's. We'll probably have something around Max. I'm hoping Paramount gets consumed by somebody because I still think it's ridiculous that they're off on their own. But, you know, I think you're going to end up with a few of the big players. I don't think that Prime is going away, but I think Prime is going to rely a lot more on other people's content. We're already starting to see that today. Again, long-term listener Jerry pointed out to me that it's super common these days for you to start streaming a show on Prime, and season one is free, but season 2, 3, 4 costs you. And, you know, I think that's because they're buying them from other services. So I think the model for Prime is changing, and maybe at some point it does consolidate. But I think you're going to have Disney, you're going to have Prime, you're going to have Netflix for sure. And then we're going to have to see who else still makes it, because I don't think it's going to be a lot.
I think these are safe bets. One of the things that seems to be in play right now is whether or not Warner Brothers Discovery is going to purchase Paramount. And that's a big question. There was just some fun talk, but then if you think about it, it's like, okay, I can kind of see that. You know, Apple acquiring Disney. I'll believe that when I see it. I don't think that's going to happen. But other studios taking steps to make sure they don't enter standalone streaming services so they can license their content to everybody. But also just within the last month, I swear I've seen lots of shows that were exclusive to one platform suddenly appearing on others, because that's the way that these companies make money. Yeah. The standalone model isn't working. And I think we're going to see, I mentioned this last show, you know, more advertising, I think, in general.
Yeah.
And you're right. Amazon Prime isn't going anywhere. Yeah. In fact, someday, not in 2024, but someday, don't be surprised if most of today's streaming services go away and it's Amazon and Apple that stand victorious as dominant streaming services, along with Netflix. And the reason is simple. For Amazon and Apple, content and streaming are just, you know, part of a massive portfolio of products and services. So they aren't 100% reliant on streaming revenue. Netflix, or an existing or new challenger that disrupts Netflix, may stand as the only streaming-only brand among the top three streaming platforms at some point in the future. Everyone else, whoever and however many that may be, are likely to just be also-rans.
100%.
Now, the second big thing for streaming is, you talked about conversational commerce or social commerce. I think we're going to have shoppable streaming streaming. Shoppable television shows where you're able to, just the way you might access X-Ray in Prime, see the fashions that are in the show or the products that are in the show and place purchases right there while you're still watching it. I think that that's going to be at least experimented with more this year. Because if you look at television, addressable TV and shoppable TV, streaming is the natural thing. You're already in an internet experience and it's not hugely interruptive to do it. I think it could also be paired with social commerce because we all do this, or most of us do it, is we're watching a show while we're talking about the show in social media. And so you could see crossover there because these streamers have to build in new revenue sources.
I think it totally makes sense. If somebody could come up with that this year, I completely agree with you. I think that's something that has been primed for some time to take off. And my prediction is that Americans have grown tired of both Trump and every other candidate. And so we're going to elect ChatGPT as our president. It can't do any worse, even the hallucinations.
Right. Well, you know, on that note, I have a prediction that disgraced former President Donald Trump will confide to Sean Hannity that he enjoyed the fucking around way more than the finding out. We'll be right back. Hey, Rick and Rick Nation, don't forget to check out our website at rickandrick.com. It's double the Rick in just one click at rickandrick.com. And welcome back to Rick and Rick Rule the World, Rick Matheson and Rick Wooten, as we continue our countdown of some of the big trends we're watching in the year ahead.
All right, I got one for you, but you're going to think I'm joking, but I'm actually mostly not. I think Elon Musk is going to realize that he bit off more than he could chew with X and Twitter, and I think he might sell it this year. You know, he's already picked somebody else to run the company, right? He's picked a new CEO, and she's doing a good job, but I suspect that this might be a year that at a minimum, he sells off some of his investment in it, if not gets out of it completely. I think this will be a year where that happens. And like I said, I know it seems like a joke, but I'm kind of serious about that one.
You definitely aren't the only one speculating about that possibility. I think it was last show we talked about how at least some analysts have already said that X itself may not even live to see 2025, and others are starting to wonder about a sale. I think I read that X is now valued at what, a third of its worth at the time that Musk acquired it. Ad revenues are down something like 50%, and the debt load he's carrying starts to be a existential situation if revenues keep going down. So I don't think you're crazy at all for putting that possibility out there. If he did it quickly, I think a lot of it would be forgotten in 5 years' time. I think the longer it drags on, I think it becomes worse, unless he is able to completely extricate himself and let Yaroxino run the show unimpeded and build back advertiser trust. It's going to be a slow death, or it could be a quick pull the Band-Aid and get it over with.
It could. I don't think he would. You know, if you take him at what he said, and he's been pretty forthcoming, he bought into it because he felt like it needed to change. And, you know, he felt like he was the guy to do it. And I think he bit off more than he could chew. And this isn't the first time here he's admitted that he's bit off too much. And, you know, if you're familiar with the production ramp on the Model 3, he's admitted many, many times that he didn't understand the challenges of, you know, large scale production of automobiles, and that he has a much higher appreciation for it now after he's gone through it painfully. And I feel like he's kind of saying the same thing right now with Twitter, that you felt, you know, idealistically like it was a simple thing to solve for, but in practice it ends up being much more complicated. So I could see him, like he did with the Tesla Model 3, you know, pulled back and then brought in some people to help him figure out the production and how to do it. I could see him taking a step back and realizing maybe he's bit off too much. Now, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but, you know, there's been some signals in the marketplace, and I think it's plausible that he could be considering doing that. And I think it'd be a smart thing to do.
My next prediction is I think we're going to see the early steps of something probably really won't take off till like 2030, but I think we're going to start to see steps toward machine customers, AI-based tools that engage in transactions on your behalf based on the preferences that you indicate or those that eventually it will learn about you. We already use a lot of this. So if you think about HP Instant Ink, for instance, or Amazon Dash, well, you set the rules, order replenishments when the existing supplies of this drop below X percent. You're not manually making those transactions. They're just set up for you. I think that it is going going to evolve over the next couple of years, where we won't have to do as much entering of preferences, that AI will start to learn what we want. So I think Gartner sees this evolving from human-led models based on defined choices to more of a shared role in a couple of years, I think 2026, and then device-leading services that conduct transactions based on your inferred needs somewhere around 2036. And at that point, we're going to be talking about, and I can totally see this, machine customers that know that you just scheduled a meeting in New York next week. And so it is going to buy your airline tickets, set up ground transportation, and book restaurant reservations to that restaurant you love in Soho, and a notification, hey, we're doing this for you. You're cool with it. And you'll say yes or no. Likewise, your car, it's going to recognize that you're stuck in traffic. So it's going to automatically notify your spouse, and it'll proactively order a pizza delivered to your family so they aren't starving while you're en route. And because it knows that you didn't stop the car at the grocery stores yesterday, and you normally do, it orders or offers to order your groceries for pickup. Now, I always take Gartner's predictions with a grain of salt, but this was a survey based, so I have to believe them. 20% of CEOs believe that by 2030, 20% of their company's revenues will come from machine customers.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting.
When we come back from this break, it's time to play a Predictions 2024 edition of
Loaded Questions.
So stay tuned.
This episode of Rick and Rick Rule the World is brought to you by Taskin, the first name in ultra-stylish, premium-quality travel gear, like the exquisitely designed Taskin One expandable backpack. With 9 practical variations, the Taskin One is always the right size for wherever life takes you next. Save 30% on your next purchase when you use the promo code R&RTAKE30. That's R&RTAKE30 at TaskinSF.com.
And welcome back to Rick and Rick Rule the World. Rick Matheson and Rick Wooten. Rick Wooten, are you ready to play
Loaded Questions?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Question number one. In 2024, global ad spend is expected to A, prioritize prestige platforms like Rick and Rick Rule the World, B, drop 8.3% due to inflation and oppressive levels of political ad clutter, C, rise 8.2% to top $1 trillion worldwide, or D, climb 8.6% driven by continued growth in out-of-home, connected TV, and in-game advertising. In 2024, global ad spend is expected to do what?
I'm going to say D. I'm going to say it's going to grow based on those factors.
You know, the way you answered the question, I'm going to give it to you. So you are correct. The answer is technically C. It is going to rise 8.2%, but it will be driven by the factors in D. They'll be driven by out-of-home, connected TV, and in-game advertising.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, you know, I'm a gamer, and I'll tell you right now, the in-game advertising is just insane. I definitely believe that that's a big area on how they're going to drive the revenue.
Do you feel like it's effective? Because I always wonder if that's interruptive, if I'm being distracted in a game, and I just don't play enough games to know how people are experiencing the advertising.
You know, I have to say that for some people, they've become accustomed to it. So it's not as disruptive as it is to somebody like me that is not used to it. So, you know, I find it offensive, but other folks, it's just what they're used to. Mm-hmm.
And is it all brand, or do you click through? Is it literally interrupting the game?
It's usually just brand. But then even within the games themselves, you have the capability of buying. It's not typically physical products. It usually has something to do with the game, but it's a big component of it.
Well, apparently, folks are pouring money into that this year. Question number two. According to Morning Consult, the fastest growing brand of 2023 was A, OpenAI, B, ChatGPT, C, Benedict Donald's Bras for Man Boobs, or D, Taylor Swift. According to Morning Consult, which of these was the fastest growing brand of 2023?
I really don't know, but I'm going to guess it's OpenAI.
Good guess, and it is a little bit of a trick. So the answer is actually B. Morning Consult's fastest growing brand rankings track consumer perceptions on thousands of brands on a daily basis and are determined by measuring growth in the share of consumers who say they would consider purchasing from a brand over the course of the year. By that measure, anyway, 2023's fastest growing brand was ChatGPT. Now, parent company, OpenAI, also made the list at number 7. So there was the product itself, ChatGPT, and then OpenAI, the master brand or holding company.
Yeah, that's a little bit of an odd thing. That's like saying Mustang competes with Ford.
Yeah, Big Mac and McDonald's.
Yeah, so that's the reason I chose that. But I get the point. I mean, to a consumer, yeah, brand is a brand is a brand, and they consider it a brand. But, you know, in my mind, it really isn't. It's, you know, it's a brand, but it's a brand of product. It's not a brand of company.
Yeah, I'm with you. And in terms of fastest growing, it probably makes sense because OpenAI has been around, but ChatGPT was only launched last November. So of course it would be among the fastest growing on a percentage basis.
Absolutely. It's been all the conversation. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times we've talked about it.
Yeah. Across all consumers, the list was number one, ChatGPT. Number two, Starry, PepsiCo's lemon lime drink. And it launched last January. Three was Zelle, the peer-to-peer digital payments brand. Four is, I never know if it's Shein or Shine. It's the Chinese fast fashion retailer. Five, Twisted Tea. It's a hard tea beverage from Boston Beer Company. That is the OG hard tea. It's actually been around since 2001, but it just took off this year. Number six was Southwest Airlines. Number seven, OpenAI. Number eight, Facebook. Number nine, Instagram Reels. Now that's another example. Instagram overall was number 18. Instagram Reels is the 15-second shareable videos. And yeah. YouTube Shorts, which is kind of the analogous thing on YouTube, was at number 17. And rounding out the list of top 10 fastest growing brands, Coke Zero. All right. Well, that's going to have to wrap it up here at Rick and Rick Rule the World. Again, let us know your predictions for the worlds of marketing, media, tech, and pop culture in 2024. Before we head on out, Rick, why don't you share where folks can find you online?
Best place to find me is still Twitter. I'm at Wooten, W-O-O-T-T-E-N, or X, or whatever they call it these days.
And I am likewise still on the X where Twitter used to be, at Rick Matheson. And of course, you can always listen to archived episodes and learn more about us and connect to all of our social networks at rickandrick.com. Until next time, stay safe, keep each other safe, and keep on coming back to the one show where everybody's name is Rick.
And everybody rules the world.